CMC Markets is a pioneering CFD and spread betting provider. With more than 30 years of experience, CMC Markets provides traders with the tools they need to trade confidently. 76% of retail investor accounts lose money.
Welcome to the City View podcast in partnership with CMC Markets. I'm Andy Sylvester, acting editor of City AM, and we'll launch right into the news, analysis, and interviews that you need for the week ahead in the city. Hello and welcome to the City View podcast in partnership with CMC Markets. I'm Andy Sylvester. Later we'll be joined by a guest I'm really excited by, Dr. Peggy Roth, Chief Insights Officer at Office Consultancy Leesman. We're going to really get into what the office might look like in the future and how those of us who believe they're fundamentally good and useful spaces can make sure that the sceptics can be won over. But first, quick thoughts on the past week. The central banks have been the really only story in town, despite the very obvious fact that they haven't really done anything. On both sides of the Atlantic, dovish tendencies seem well and truly in place. But the question, of course, is what happens if inflation surprises to the upside? We've never done what we've done this year before, so the old models, frankly, don't strike me as being too relevant. The basic fact is we've pumped billions of printed pounds into the economy and are now relying on a consumer spending boom to power the recovery. That could end badly, and as long as the MPC and the banks see it coming, they should have it in hand. The question, of course, is if it all happens far too quickly. There was also potentially transformative news for the so-called gig economy last week, with Uber facing up to the impact of its lost Supreme Court case around drivers' rights. Uber drivers will now be counted as employees, meaning minimum wage whilst they're driving, holiday pay and other protections. Critics lined up to say it didn't go far enough, but I confess to not really seeing their point. Uber is a flexible platform, after all, for both driver and rider. If you'd go any further, mandating a certain number of hours or perhaps having drivers work shifts, then you take that flexibility away. The question now is, what do Uber's competitors do, Ola and Bolt chief among them? And indeed, questions emerge about the implications for other firms that use a similar model for takeaway food, deliveries and other such things. It's interesting stuff, and we're certainly a long way away from the end of that story. Speaking of stories, it was bad news for the media industry at the back end of the week. Reach, the publishers of The Mirror, The Express and a range of regional titles, announced to staff they were going to slash their office space, selling the genuinely iconic Lower Thames Street headquarters and cutting their Canary Wharf presence from two floors to one. The latter, they're predominantly used by The Mirror. It's a sign of the times, of course, but one that presents some wider issues for other industries too. Hacks of all stripes took to Twitter to bemoan the move and question how young reporters could learn the tricks of the trade from senior reporters if they only see each other on Zoom. It's an interesting question and one that has significant implications for industries right across the economy. How do youngsters get on with their careers if their careers are in their bedrooms? And this week is more big news, kicking off with Kingfisher's results on Monday. On Wednesday, we've got inflation figures from the UK, which are no doubt sure to be of interest, and then US GDP on Thursday. And now to today's special guest, Dr. Peggy Roth from workplace consultancy Leesman. Peggy's an expert in the built environment and indeed in the office. She studied at Aalto University, and anyone who studies at a university named after an architect probably knows what they're talking about when it comes to the future of the workplace. Leesman's recent report into the future of the office suggests that hybrid working may well be the way forward. But the question is, how do you persuade staff to want to come back to the office? And indeed, how do you support them when they're at home too? So rather than the black or white of go home or stay home, this is more about how we respond to the new world order. Peggy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that I really liked about the report was almost the tagline that the future has arrived. The future has come a lot sooner than we thought. Probably the best place to talk about the future of the office is the present of the office and the report. And you know, you've spoken to a lot of people through your research, a lot of home workers, a lot of office staff about what they've found over the past year. And I think there's a temptation amongst some people, perhaps journalists guilty of this the most, to say working from home is a good thing or working from home is a bad thing. But the truth is the picture seems a lot more mixed about what people want and what they've found over the past year. Is that pretty much where the research is, that there's some bits that are better from home and some bits that are better in the office?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we look at our overall data, the data that we've collected from the people working from home, it's over 160,000 responses. We can say that on average, employees have had quite a good experience working from home. But there are certainly some things that have been better compared to others. So things like the individual work that you do, different types of conversations and other activities that require acoustic privacy, those have certainly been really well supported from our homes. But then on the other hand, we certainly see more challenges with the things really that relate to the social fabric of the organization. So feeling connected to your colleagues and feeling connected to the organization as a whole. And that relates back to like the informal social interaction and collaborating and so forth. Those things certainly have been quite a lot more challenging when everyone is working from their homes.
Absolutely. And I suppose the impact of that going forward, and we can start talking, I think, about the future now in a way that we perhaps weren't able to talk about even 3-4 months ago when everything was uncertain. There is a rollout, there is a roadmap, and for all the rigmarole over vaccines, etc., you know, the world is changing, but we are moving towards what at least the start of the new normal will look like. In terms of how office leaders that you speak to, so, you know, the CEOs, the managers, when they think about the office in the future, do you think they recognize that there is that, you know, sort of benefits to both side that you talked about, or you know, will that be a question of leadership of having to catch up with that feeling in their employees quite quickly?
Yeah, I think in one way that the organizations we speak to and have the pleasure of working with are the ones who are keen to find out. And that's why they talk to us and we help them assess the situation in their organization. So they do get the data on how have their employees experienced working from home and how does that compare to their offices? Because even though I talk about, generally the experience has been good working from home and kind of on average, that's better than the average office. What that actually looks like is completely different from one organization to another. On one hand, depending on how their employees have been experiencing working from home, but also very much based on what sort of offices do they have? How much did they invest and focus on creating good workplaces before the pandemic? So I think there is a... there are certainly organizations out there who are really thinking about this, but at the same time, I think this pandemic has really, it's shaken things up and it's really offered an opportunity for everyone to rethink and focus on how can they create the best possible environment for their employees so that it can lead to success for the organization.
And there's three things that I think the report, sort of three headings, I suppose, that run throughout the report, which are people, place and time. I guess probably worth digging into those more specifically. When you sort of under the people heading, you talk about, you know, leaders having to recognize that what are offices actually for, I suppose, that is the sort of obvious question. What are they for? Are they nurturing environments? Are they creative environments? Are they just places that exist because they've always existed?
Yeah, because there's a lot of talk out there right now, like what is the purpose of the office in the future? But what we're really challenging organizations to think about is what is the purpose of the office for your organization? Because you are different. You are not an average organization. You are different to everyone else. So we're challenging organizations to have a think about that so that they can take action based on that and basically design the workplaces then based on, you know, what they want the workplace to be for them. And in order to do that, they really need to understand their people. And that's why we've called that first section people. But it's really about focusing on what is it that your people do? What type of role do they have? What would they need from the workplace in the future?
Yeah, no, because I mean, one of the things that certainly the report drew out to me was there's some criticism in the report of companies who almost think of tactics as strategies, I suppose. You know, let's get people in the office 3 days a week, and they say that that's a, you know, that's enough. That's a strategy to get people to come back together. But your argument is that actually it's about something far bigger than that.
Yeah, because it's really a matter of, I mean, we're all, every employee is an individual and has different needs depending on the work that they do, depending on what sort of, basically what sort of settings do they have, for example, at home? How good is the experience that they have as, in one way, the alternative, if they were to work from home? That's going to be different for all employees. And therefore you can't really kind of draw or decide on one blanket number and say everyone needs to be back 2 to 3 days a week or so, because it really depends on, the person, what is best for them. And you may, within the same organization, you could have some functions that perhaps need or could benefit from an office first strategy, where basically you're predominantly back in the office, and you could have other people who actually would be far better off with a remote first, where actually the office is just something that they occasionally come into for certain specific things. And then you could have other functions, other parts of the organization, perhaps, who could really benefit from a more kind of comprehensive hybrid strategy, where you're working in a much more fluid way and using different places and spaces throughout your week.
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. And I think one of the other things, you know, in terms of that's the sort of the people element of it, but then we go on to the place. And you know, I wanted to speak to you for a while because I know you've lots of research into the built environment, and something I'm certainly a bit of a nerd about is, you know, you've said that for people to get it's not just asking people to come back to the office, it's getting them to stay there and getting them to enjoy it and getting them to, you know, use it to the best of its ability and to, you know, fundamentally be more productive or be more innovative or whatever you might want to choose to do. The strap line in the report is go big or stay home. And do you want to kind of explain what that is, I suppose?
There's an alarming fact coming out of our data, which is that the average home that was designed for living supports work better than the average office that was actually designed for work. And we certainly see that in the numbers that we have collected. So for example, across all the data that we've collected from people working from home, 83% say that the home environment enables them to work productively, compared to only 64% across those respondents who have given us their response on their office environment. So if employees are having a much better experience at home, what will make them want to go back to the office? Well, we really therefore need to create better offices. We also see that in our data that there's 76% of offices provide a suboptimal or a sub outstanding experience to the employees. And quite frankly, if employees have a better experience working from home, then why would they want to come back, essentially? So we think that there's really a massive need to first off, start off by, you know, what's the purpose of the office for you? If you want the employees to come back, to be back and to spend time there, then you need to make it a place that they actually want to come to and that provides them with an outstanding experience.
Yeah, which is fascinating, because you have to understand, I mean, I guess what's important for people to understand and important for leaders to get from your perspective, at least, would be that it's not just that people will want to stay home. It's not just that people won't be thrilled about going into the office. It's that they will, presumably, talented people who know what they want from their workplace will look for those workplaces when they're thinking about where they want to work.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more that, I mean, smart people, talented people, they will want to be in the place that that gives them the best opportunity to be at their best. And if the office is not a good place to be, then they won't want to be there. And I absolutely also think that in the future, the workplace landscape that an organization provides. And by landscape, I mean not just the office, but also the ability to work in a more flexible way. That is going to have a big impact on the ability to attract talent and retain talent. We know that pre-pandemic, 50% of employees did not work from home at all. So when we looked at our 2019 data, more than 200,000 responses, 50% of respondents said that they never worked from home. So 0% of their time was spent working from home. And now they've all tried it. And they have, on average, had quite a good experience doing it. So the expectation to be able to work from home is also there. And therefore, I think it's almost wider than that. It's really about the entire workplace landscape that an organization is providing in the future. And a very crucial part of that is, what is the office? Is it attractive or is it not?
Well, that's fascinating. I guess my last question on that, because we'll move on to time in a sec, is about the different, you know, you mentioned earlier that different people are, you know, obviously have different needs and different ideas. Thinking particularly about young people in cities, I, you know, think about my life as a 24, 25, 26-year-old living in house shares that were pretty crowded, pretty grim. And, you know, would I say that that supported me better than an office? I don't know. I probably could have worked there, but I'm glad I didn't and was in an office. How important is it that when you're designing kind of the office of the future, that you do think about those people who maybe don't have, you know, the place where they can put their laptop and their Zoom light? They don't have the study. They don't have the garden to get some fresh air.
I think it's very crucial. There has been talks about perhaps, you know, the office of the future is a place you go and meet people, because on average, as I mentioned earlier, individual work has been supported quite well when we're working from home. But this is really crucial. We need to remember that it's not excellent for everyone. So there will still be those people who don't have a good environment at home where they can do their focused work, where they can have their video calls and so forth. We have certainly seen that when we're talking about the home working experience, what sort of environment you have available to you at home is a key driver of that. So those employees who are working from the dining table or the couch or so, they have certainly a much poorer experience working from home compared to those colleagues who have the, I guess you could say, the luxury of having a space, a room dedicated for working at home. And that does, to some extent, it does correlate with age groups, because the younger employees are perhaps more likely to be house sharing, as you mentioned, so they don't have that dedicated space. Well, if they don't have a good space at home to do their individual work, and an office is designed to be just for meetings, well, where are they going to then, in that case, do their focused work? And also on that, I think just on the topic of this kind of hypothesis that perhaps the office could be a place in the future where you just go to meet people and to collaborate and to socialize and so forth, we need to be mindful that the flow of work is not kind of that black and white. I think it would be quite challenging for the average knowledge worker to rearrange their work completely in a way where you have days where you do nothing but collaborate and socialize and have meetings and so forth. And then you have full days where you do nothing but individual work, basically from the comfort of your home. Knowledge work is a lot more kind of alternating between the two. And yes, you could have days when you're perhaps a bit more focused on individual work. But I certainly feel that when I'm doing that, that's when I especially need my colleagues to be able to reflect on things and bounce off ideas and so forth. Also on the days where perhaps you have more meetings, you have more collaboration, you still are likely to need those moments to sit down and sort out some of your individual focused work. So certainly I think we need to, when we're thinking about the design of the office in the future, we need to think about all the various different things that employees may need to do there. And different employees may have different needs.
I think that's completely relevant, and certainly you know, I have lucky to work with a team of really talented reporters here. But yeah, I mean, it is tough working from home for some of them in their sort of circumstances. And I think they're itching to get back to the office, some of them. So I guess the challenge for us is to learn from what we've learned over home working, you know, learn about some of the ways in which it's been more effective for them to write longer pieces, write feature pieces, etc., rather than sort of the day-to-day of news reporting and try and embrace that. The third thing is time, and I guess urgency is, you know, urgency has never been more urgent, I suppose. You know, there are some people who I've spoken to who say that this is, I say there's some people I've spoken to, there are, but there are also people like Goldman Sachs boss, whose name escapes me, the delights of being on a podcast, who said that this is an aberration, that we're going to go back to normal, that by, you know, the middle of 2022, we'll all have forgotten this whole work from home thing and we'll all be back in the office 4 or 5 days a week. I'm pretty sure from what you've said so far, you don't agree with that. And actually, you think that it's now a question of moving quickly and getting ahead of the game.
Yeah, I think the pandemic has really offered a great opportunity to rethink things. And the crucial thing is, now, as you said, it's urgent because this has been going on for a year already. But now I'm almost confident enough to say that there is starting to be some light at the end of the tunnel. Vaccinations are happening. And when it's time to act, it's too late to prepare. And we're all already at the point that really, in order to have, in order to meet the employees' expectations, when we are at that point where the virus is no longer posing any restrictions on where and how we work, there are a lot of things that you will need to have done by then already. So that's why really the time to act is now, and that really means figuring out, you know, what is the purpose of the office for you going forward. So as a comment to the Goldman Sachs case, in one way, it's yes, I don't agree that we're all going to go back to normal. It's going to be like this never happened. I don't believe that. But then at the same time, the situation is different for different organizations. Each organization needs to figure out what is your future. And perhaps for some organizations, the future model is something closer to an office-first strategy. But that certainly requires for those organizations to have invested in their offices, to have made sure that they are providing everything that their employees need, and that the employees are you know, that is a way you're working that is that works for the employees. But generally, though, I would say I think now is the time not to close your eyes and cover your ears and basically just wait for things to happen, because there are so many things that have happened in this pandemic from the perspective of work. As we've mentioned, employees have experienced a new environment. Many employees hadn't experienced this before. As I mentioned, 50% did not work from home pre-pandemic, and they've now had a good experience of it. So they have a new benchmark. They have a new benchmark that they're using to view their offices with. We also see that certain ways of doing things has changed. So certainly, for example, video conferencing is more common now than it has ever been before. I don't think that we're going to go back to quite the same levels as we were pre-pandemic. And that means we need to figure out how do our offices in the future, how do they support video conferencing at the same level as our homes have been doing. We know from before, from before the pandemic, that offices weren't brilliant at supporting video conferencing. And having had environments that really well support that, employees are going to expect more from their offices. And this means really that these sort of things need to be figured out now, so that you have time to do those changes and implement, so that you're ready when basically the virus is not posing any restrictions anymore.
Mm. God, a world in which the virus isn't posing restrictions, that's something we can all look forward to. Peggy, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And it's been fascinating to talk about the future of the office and what it means, and to add a bit of nuance, I think, to a debate which can sometimes be a bit black and white. So Peggy, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
That's all from the City View podcast in partnership with CMC Markets this week. Do join us next week as we head towards Easter and indeed unlocking, would you believe it? Hopefully you'll be able to enjoy some sunshine this week. That was the City View podcast in partnership with CMC Markets. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, all the news, analysis and opinion you need will be on cityam.com.
CMC Markets is a pioneering CFD and spread betting provider. With more than 30 years of experience, CMC Markets provides traders with the tools they need to trade confidently.
76% of retail investor accounts lose money.